o'clock in the morning.
So early. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're on.
We're on?
We're on.
Are you sure? Because there's been a lot of technical difficulties.
Fuck. 11
well,
million.
Well, if there are any, it's not my fault.
775 million then. That's...
$11 million budget. That's insane.
Okay, so we just finished verifying how much money Ghostbusters and Star Wars made back in the day.
Well, in their original runs, because this is really important. When you're looking at it, and I think Devin thinks that prevalent topic.
I'm going to make that counter, by today the way. Every time you miss.
Yep.
Okay. Just so
Devin,
we're clear.
Devin thinks that a prevalent topic for today is going to be not just the Ghostbusters movie that's coming out, but its viability in the long term. What the profit threshold needs to be for the franchise to continue, because there are definitely studio executives and the director that said this will go on forever, and that there will be this is a franchise they intend to go forever.
They foolishly think they can make a shared universe with Ghostbusters.
Well, we'll see. We will see.
No, no, I'm going to call it now. You can't. The concept doesn't work.
So, welcome to Geek Cred.
Yes, let's welcome people. To the
this is how we're going to do it now.
Devin
is
Devin.
We're going to open.
We're
going to open.
Yeah. Cold open. Yeah.
Is that a good? It's a great tactic for TV shows. I don't know how I like it for like the auditory medium.
It doesn't matter what you like. It matters what the fans like. Though we've addressed that Devin does not care what the fans like.
Devin doesn't give a flying what the fans like.
I like how he censors himself in a place where you can say whatever the fuck
that's
you want.
True. That is true.
That's true.
Speaking of people saying whatever they want. Just going to slide that segue in there. There has been a controversy since last time we were together regarding Star Trek with George Takei and the character of Sulu. I guess in Star Trek Beyond, which I think I've said before looks completely boring and uninspired and reminds me of Star Trek Insurrection, they're revealing that Sulu, who is obviously now played by a younger gentleman whose name escapes me because I'm terrible with actors' names.
John Cho.
Wow, God bless that you. Should be easy for me to remember, since I know someone named Cho.
Thank you, Walter, for getting what I did. I appreciate you getting it for what I did.
His name is John Chode.
God bless you.
No.
Everyone keeps sneezing.
Probably.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
That is exactly my thinking there, Walter. In Star Trek Beyond, Sulu is going to be revealed to be in, I guess he's gay married. He's married to a man.
John Chode is gay married.
So I guess the thing that they're working with this time is that in this universe,
just power through.
This is the way that they have rebooted this. They said that something in the timeline has caused Hikaru Sulu to no longer be straight and be gay now. So he's and then part of me is perfectly fine with that in a way, and the whole point of it though is to pay homage to George Takei, who is the real life actor who played Sulu originally, and who is gay. Now, this is
George didn't like that.
George was not a fan of this. He didn't. Hate
George it. Likes his real life romance spicy, but George spicy and of the same sex. But George does not like his fictional Star Wars character.
Whoa, Star Trek! You're gonna get us all fucking killed.
Oh crap! Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I just wanted to talk about the better franchise.
Wow! Really in trouble.
You know what? That will get us in trouble. But it's fucking true, so go on.
Oh, no!
Well, yeah. What made the new movies good, well, is because they pretty much did the Star Wars instead of
right,
Star Trek.
No, that's what made them bad. Yeah. I'm sorry.
And Star Wars, no, I think
I can enjoy them.
Yeah, I agree that
the snore Devin
agrees. Yeah.
From the past.
And you know what? Star Wars was a trailblazer in this respect. Star Wars has had gay characters for years. Jar Jar Binks. Jar Jar Binks.
Wait, he's gay?
Yeah.
They've never
probably Mace Windu. Probably Mace Windu.
Probably.
Because if he wasn't surrounded by a bunch of white women, then that character was probably gay.
I mean, he is Sam Jackson. So.
Exactly.
Well, I always thought that C-3PO was the gay character.
He's a genderless robot. That's not the same thing. But Jar Jar?
I will say the divide in the room is very real, as Mike and Devin are all about New Trek and me.
No,
and
not all about.
At it.
No, not all about. It's just they made it accessible to the modern audience.
You said you enjoyed it more.
To the, no, not it's more. A, no, it is,
I say
it is enjoyable.
But does. I don't fucking fall asleep every time I watch it like I watch the old
okay,
shit.
Okay, Mike, Star Trek or Game of Thrones?
Both terrible in my eyes.
Damn.
God.
So,
do you have like an there's only one for someone's geek cred and Mike's just dropped?
No, because there's only one real star out there. It's fucking Star Wars. Okay. No fucking Star Trek. Fuck that.
I will say, from a naming standpoint, a war sounds much cooler than a Trek.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say The Last Starfighter or something, and I was like...
Because, I mean, even...
Star Fox?
Star Fox.
Star Fox.
Hey!
Star who Perks. Is your spirit animal, Devin?
Devin agrees.
Because let's face something about Trek. A fucking movie series 99% about walking, Lord of the Rings...
Fuck that shit.
Still uses war in the title of at least one of their movies with War of the Five Armies, which I think involved six armies. That movie makes no fucking sense. I hate that movie.
The Hobbit movies were fucking awful.
But back to George.
So, yes, George was not a fan of this. He says that it was not. He had had a conversation originally about. There being a gay character in Star Trek.
Yeah, because Gene Roddenberry knew that George Takei was...
No, he didn't. He never came out to him. He was...
Really?
It was during a time where George wasn't coming out. George didn't come out until... Flat out said he never came out to him. George didn't come out until after Roddenberry had passed away anyway.
He was probably like, really, George?
Well, it was...
Really?
Roddenberry's... Roddenberry's vision was to have this utopian future
where
there
was
characters like that represented.
Specifically the Next Generation, where everything was like really super nice and accepting.
True.
The big problem with like the original series was that it pushed the boundaries already.
And caught backlash.
Interracial kiss.
If I put gay people in my show,
that was
they'll cancel me. And I won't have a show
anymore. I've actually seen those quotes from Roddenberry where he's talking about, hey, you have to...
Yeah, you gotta play ball sometimes.
Sometimes you have to,
catches up to you.
It was a very delicate situation.
So now the world has caught up, and it's time for gay characters in Star Trek. The problem that both George and I have with this, and I say that as if I'm like on speaking terms with Takai. I'm not.
You just lost your opportunity to make that inference.
All right, me and George, we just hang out all the time.
He might be a chubby chaser. You never know.
It could be. I feel I can pull someone younger. But probably not someone richer.
No one richer. Yeah.
You know what? Go for the money.
He's got those dank meme monies.
Oh, you know George has that dank meme cash.
The dankest.
So, the thing that I have against this, and it's the same, I share George's sentiment with this.
Why do you hate gays?
Need to change the character of Hikaru Sulu instead of just introducing a new character?
The thing I found, because Simon Pegg respectfully disagreed with George.
Right.
And he has every right to.
I didn't like one of the things he said, because he said, well, if you introduce a gay character, that would just become the focus of their character.
Yes.
How the fuck is that the case? Just don't
now
write the character
like that.
Now you've
done the same exact thing to Sulu.
Right.
Simon Pegg's...
By making it a fucking talking point, you're making it the focus of the character.
That's true, I agree.
His argument cuts both ways.
But
he says, if we introduce a character just to have a gay character... It's just that gay character. But you're turning Sulu into a gay character just because you want a gay character. You've done the same exact
thing. I mean, they could have just, in the movie, you know, him just in the end of it, just hug his boyfriend or his husband and, okay.
That's probably what will happen. But I'll give you a better idea. I'll give you a better idea, something that they should do instead. There's a new female character lead. The alien chick with the tattoo.
Jayara?
I don't fucking know. I don't plan on seeing the movie. What's the inference you're going to get out of this movie? Her and Kirk are going to bang. He bangs every space chick that
she
he
bangs,
comes across.
She bangs.
He's going to nail it.
Second Rick.
Probably.
Why not have her not only be the thing that catches Kirk's eye and he's constantly searching her out, but he never gets, because guess what? She's
gay.
And she has a thing for Uhura or something. Or one of the helmsmen.
You've just created like a whole new subsection of fanfic.
True.
And like erotic war. Which I'm sure already exists.
You've introduced a new character who already has a point in this movie.
Right. To get railed by war.
That everyone automatically will assume, okay, she's going to be the love interest for Kirk.
No.
Or where I think it's probably going to go McCoy. because they know that you think it's going to go.
I'm going to show you why they call me Bones.
Oh, no!
That's not coming out of your head.
Nope.
And no. To quote Kanye,
whoa.
To paraphrase Kanye, Dr. McCoy has a PhD.
Pretty huge dick. Nicely done.
And you know that he's going to use that line. Because it was good enough for Kanye, it's good enough for McCoy.
Well, Star Trek is set in the future, so by then Kanye and his lyrics have been enshrined as the height of literature at that point.
Oh, everyone's first words must be a hot 16 from Kanye.
Nice.
Yeah. If you don't know all the verses from 808 and Heartbreak, that's it.
See, I always think of Kanye like I think of the lead singer of The Doors, the one that everyone thinks was like a poetic genius. I'm like... I don't see
Jim
it.
Morrison?
Jim Morrison. People think he's like a poetic genius.
To be
like,
fair, Kanye thinks he's a poetic genius.
Yeah. I don't
know. And everyone else is inferior to Kanye, so we all know that Kanye is a poetic genius.
Well, I mean, that is
like there's only one musician who was like universally loved because he was that talented, and that's
Tupac.
Fucking Mercury.
You know, oh, Freddie? Oh, my God. True. Freddie's
amazing.
Voice.
And I don't think anyone could argue.
And he's Indian, like Devin.
His style of music.
Fact,
actually, yeah.
I mean, let's be honest, though. Freddie Mercury didn't pass away. He's your dad.
He kind of looks like Devin's dad.
He really does.
He kind of looks like Devin's dad.
Can we get a picture of your dad to put up on the video? Well,
no,
actually, I was going to get a picture of Freddie Mercury.
Might as well. So anyways.
Oh, man, I just pictured a terrible event of John meeting, going on a vacation with Devin. And like, this is Devin and I in the hotel. This is Devin and I with a taxi driver. That's my dad, dude. Fuck you.
That's happened before.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but only because your dad drives a taxi.
Yeah.
See?
He does it for a side business.
See, Walter's the ignorant
one.
He owns Yellow Cab.
He owns the Uber.
Yeah. So
now that I've said something racially insensitive, take
the floodgates are open.
Okay, so we need to check in with Walter here because Walter is our resident ghost bro. He's our.
I hate that fucking.
I know that's why I used it because it's stupid.
I don't because I think that's Devin doesn't.
That should be the next bro force.
Oh, is this
ghost bro? Mike, $1 million idea, Mike.
Bow, 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 bow.
The next bro force character will be ghost bro.
Ghost. Oh my god.
Ghost broster. Yes. Done. So print it. So we need to check in with Walter about Ghostbusters, which comes out in a couple days. And we have a spiteful GoFundMe, well, it's actually generosity.com, set up to crowdfund tickets for us to go see Ghostbusters because none of us want to pay.
So reviews are coming in. Now, it does have to be stated that there is a review embargo on this movie. The embargo doesn't go up until the day before the movie.
Correct.
This, to me, is always a bad sign for a movie.
Or a video game. Or anything.
Or video game in time. But this doesn't always hold true.
Not always.
Not always.
I think Mad Max had the same thing.
Yes.
But look how great Mad Max
was. Civil War did as well.
But you always kind of accept it with something like Civil War because...
Spoilers.
You don't want spoilers.
Yeah.
And
but you know what
the problem with Ghostbusters is I know the entire synopsis.
But absolutely.
You know what I will say, Devin will say, about this is that... While, you know, you have the NDAs, obviously, and...
Actually, they don't.
You have...
No, the movie crew do. The movie crew does,
absolutely.
The earlier that films are screened for critics, typically you can use that as a barometer for studio confidence in the product.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And something like Civil War was screened over a month in advance for critics.
Oh, yeah.
And so, again, good barometer for how people... thought in the studio perceived this was going to be, you know, even though you can't post spoilers, you can't say anything direct, however you're getting positive word of mouth, and I think the fact that this movie it's screening in the normal window of movies,
yep,
that's obviously they're not super confident about it, and
I don't think they could be at this point.
No.
They genuinely feel that people are eager to tear this movie down. And here's one thing. If I haven't made it clear over the last few weeks of me talking about Ghostbusters, I hope so much that I'm wrong.
Well, can
I genuinely want this movie to be good.
Well, Devin would like to make one point, because when Spanish Mike walked in today, he said he's going to see it at least twice, simply because his son wants to see it.
Mm-hmm.
But
so what's the other?
Let me
time
say
for?
That's just
I mean, probably
him.
With you guys.
That's true.
Depending on how the
what a nice guy. What a nice guy. And so.
Oh no! Not the hookers again.
And so. let Devin just say that. Do you know what the number one movie at the box office was last week?
Finding Dory.
Nope.
BFG?
Nope. No. Secret Life of what? Pets? Animals? Whatever it is?
Oh, yeah. The Secret Life of Pets, yeah.
Made over $100 million. Yeah. Dollars.
Well, it looked good.
Mm-hmm. No.
What? I thought it looked funny.
No.
That looks good.
No. Not only is it not supposed to be good by pretty much the critics, like, this is not good. And
I'm not saying it is good. I'm saying the trailers made it look good.
But the word of mouth, not good about that movie.
Okay, but it had a good trailer.
Still, no. not to Devin, anyway.
The trailer features System of a Down. I want to punch you in the face.
I know, I know that, but that alternate trailers change the song when he's playing, so I don't like that.
I've seen it on TV, and it's always.
Oh, yeah, but sometimes there's another version where they play another song when he. Either way, that is.
No. Whoa. Let's clarify. Is The Secret Life of Pets a Warner Brothers property?
No.
Oh. That fucking explains it. We're doing some Warner Brothers apologist countermeasures here against a non-Warner Brothers movie.
So,
it's reverse Warner Brothers here.
This movie, which critically the consensus is not good, made $100 million.
And again, we're referencing the Pets movie.
Ghostbusters could very well, I don't think they're making $100 million.
Ghostbusters, you say?
I do think Ghostbusters. I don't think it's starting. It's not going to make $100 million.
It's not going to start at $100 million.
But that doesn't mean that it still can't be financially successful. I don't know what the budget is. I don't know. We can make projections.
But to be fair, the range for success for this movie is much different than a lot of other movies.
Of course, yeah. You're
because
they're starting a franchise.
Exactly. They want to do a franchise, a universe off this. That is a very high benchmark for what they need to pull in.
So this is what I'm reading right here. This is what I'm reading right here. So. I am Googling Ghostbusters, and what I feel, or fear, actually, with this, is that people are going to start hating on this movie without even seeing it. I see it already trending on IMDb, and it has 3.6 out of 10.
Okay.
Before even watching it.
No, a lot of people have already seen the movie. It already premiered in Europe.
But some critics don't. They can't vote. And then there might be people that just jump in and just put one star.
Yeah.
Because it's not what they're used to, but it doesn't mean it's not a bad movie.
To be fair, there's also been a big counter push because a lot of the voting sites got flooded with 10-star reviews very early on as, like, a political statement about this. There was actually, like, calls to action to do this.
That was actually something I wanted to bring up. All the reviews I've seen of this movie, all the positive reviews, which were okay at best.
Yeah, they're not glowing.
They're like, it's funny enough. Pretty much everyone doesn't like the humor in the movie for a Ghostbusters movie.
Correct.
A lot of people are pointing out that the editing is bad, the pacing is bad.
The action shots are bad.
I didn't hear anything about that.
Oh, that was one of the big complaints.
And the other one was that the type of humor in the movie was too much out of, like, Bridesmaids. Which does fit.
It certainly makes sense given the crew behind it and the cast.
So, I mean, according to a few negative reviews, it feels too much like a Saturday Night Live skit.
Mm-hmm. Which it looked like. We mentioned that, actually.
Yeah, and that's what I don't like SNL, so.
Who does?
A lot of people.
Fools.
So. This might be right up a lot of people's alleys. This might be the new Star Trek version of Ghostbusters, you know?
Thank God.
Does that kill you inside?
Well, Devin
kind of does, but like it.
But Devin thinks that if it catches on with people, and Devin doesn't know that it will or not, because Devin doesn't know anybody that's personally pumped.
Yeah.
To go see it, pumped.
I'm dreading it. It's kind of, well, kind of like DC versus Marvel at this point. Marvel, you're waiting for the bad movie. You're waiting for that big flop that hasn't come yet. The worst it's gotten is maybe Ragnarok. Or
they're too formulaic. They're too formulaic, so they're never going to have a bomb because they follow the formula to a T.
But with, like, reboots and DC, you're waiting for the good one.
Right.
And we haven't gotten it yet.
So. You will a Suicide Squad.
Oh.
Cha-ching.
Oh, that so, is
the...
No, but...
The thing I was trying to get to with the reviews is all the good reviews I've seen, none of them, not a single one, was able to give positive reviews of the movie and not rub it in people that were already critical of the movie's face in such a way that basically dismissed all hatred of the movie as, you know, MRA's...
Misogyny. Well, Devin feels like that's a situation where you can't ignore that there was a lot of criticism that came for those reasons, not our criticism.
I wouldn't even say a lot. I would say a small percentage.
I would say vocal.
It's a vocal minority because that was all that was getting focused on by the entire opposing narrative.
Yes, Devin agrees, but there are many people out there that I've seen like, I don't want to see it because it's got chicks in it instead of dudes. There are people like that.
Man, you hang out with assholes, though.
Yes!
Who are those people?
Are the people that you need to convert to moviegoers if you want to start a franchise.
Fact. That is also true. And insulting them is a poor way to do it. And Sony's been doing that nonstop.
But in reviews that these people probably don't read.
So, but this kind of what it comes into. What you were saying, ka-ching, when it came to...
Suicide Squad.
So what's the barometer of a good movie? Is it going to make $100 million in the first week, or is it that critically it'll be a good movie?
That's tough. I think the barometer is both, like Civil War.
It's a confluence.
No, because technically, what really was both was The Dark Knight. The Dark Knight was critically loved. Not only critically loved, it fucking won an Oscar.
Yeah,
and was nominated for others.
Yeah, no Marvel movies ever winning a fucking Oscar.
Nah,
unless it's for special effects, they're not going to be winning.
I do think that that's probably true though. they don't deviate from the formula, so it's like
they don't really take risks.
Yeah.
Okay, so now
Black Panther gets an Oscar, calling it
for special effects or sound, maybe.
You mean like maybe a BET award?
So just so we're clear, Mike, you say no immediately because you're racist. Moving on.
Well, right. Me being 15% black, I can't be racist.
Woo!
Yes, I'm throwing in numbers.
You can't be 15%.
Of course you can.
That's not a fraction that divides my parentage.
It does. Trust me. I'll show you the goods later, John.
So now, going into
what you would see a barometer. Now, clearly, Ghostbusters is not really focused towards
quality.
No, middle adults. They're not looking for male adults that are in the 30 to maybe like 30.
You're not looking for your primary demographic.
No,
in this movie?
Absolutely not.
No. Then you're retarded.
They're going for kids and bridesmaids.
Kids and women.
Well, guess what? Kids aren't into the movie because guess what?
I don't know. That's truly wrong because my son, everyone in his class is playing Ghostbusters all day.
That's popular.
What is the one thing kids love out of movies?
Drug use?
That's true.
Toys.
Yeah.
Kids love toys.
Like a crack pipe?
Toys are not selling.
That's true.
They are already on clearance. The movie hasn't even come out yet.
Then we have to wait
till
it comes up.
Nothing.
But there hasn't been
to get rid of them right now.
I haven't seen and again I'm not on TV nearly as much, but I haven't seen as much advertising for this movie either. But again, it's not really that type of movie. Bridesmaid wasn't very heavily advertised either.
And that made bank.
And that made crazy money.
PG or PG-13?
PG-13.
It's PG-13.
It's not even a kids movie.
Yeah, but no, it is.
People take their kids to a PG-13 movie, though. I mean, all
every single Marvel movie is PG-13, and I see kids, though.
Yeah, little kids.
Unfortunately, I see terrible parents take...
I think kids movies, I'm thinking, like...
But you're taking a kid to go see Iron Man. I think you're taking a six-year-old... I would take a six-year-old boy to see Iron Man.
Oh, yeah.
And then afterwards, people would ask me, why are you with this random six-year-old boy?
Actually,
I mean... You're like, oh, I thought that quarter expired.
These Marvel movies bring so much like attention that when I went to go watch Deadpool, there were kids there.
Yeah.
They knew that was going to happen, though.
Yeah.
It was a comic book movie.
And parents are irresponsible.
Hey, I'm sorry. If Rust has taught me anything,
and it hasn't.
It's that little kids are just so eager to hear the word fuck.
Oh, yeah.
They are eager to use it. You remember the movie South Park? When they go to see the rated R movie, and they're so happy to use those words,
yeah,
and they're just so happy. That movie is little kids.
That's life.
Yeah,
that is true life.
It's the mark that Marvel, as a comic book, well, Marvel and DC, but mostly Marvel, miss all the time when they talk about the appeal of Spider-Man is youth. No, it's not. Kids don't like Robin. They like fucking Batman.
Yeah.
But speaking of things that are trying to become their own universes, I came across some news earlier today. I'm like, we need to discuss this at least a bit because I don't get it. Javier Bardem? Is it Bardem? Uh-huh. Javier Bardem, the guy that's super scary in every movie that he's in. Is in talks to play Frankenstein.
Well, alright, so you're talking about the Universal Monsters shared universe.
Yeah, I'm kind of fucking excited about, actually.
Well, there you go. There's your answer.
Because they already stated that they're going to go horror. They're not going to go action. They're not going to go adventure.
Yeah, it's not like The Mummy.
Right.
It's like, yeah. So this is something, but this has been in the works for at least the last 5 years or so.
Yes.
Universal has been pushing this vision of a shared monster universe that will eventually end with some kind of
Avengers-style
monster.
Everyone's going to do this.
It's
now.
Actually Dude, longer.
You know, even Ghostbusters is talking about this.
They've been
that
that's
is
the whole
going to be the
well,
event.
Well, John and I... John and Devin have spent some time.
Devin and John,
shut your mouth. Go back to your country.
When does Star Wars do the Avengers style event?
I think Star Wars.
That was Return of the Jedi.
Star Wars is.
But
the Avengers style event.
John,
we had a pitch.
Devin and John definitely have something later on. We have a pitch,
and we wanted to run.
We know what the sequels to Ghostbusters are going to be if they get greenlit. We know. We're telling you right now.
I'm gonna.
Cha-ching!
I'm already gonna go out on a limb that it's already going to be greenlit.
Cha-ching!
I think so. No matter what, as long as it doesn't, as long as it makes $100 million, which it will.
Well, what's the budget? Google it right now. What's the budget?
I'm gonna throw a wrench in all this because you're completely wrong. Because the only division of Sony making any fucking money is PlayStation. So no, they cannot greenlit whatever they want, regardless of the outcome. Should we run the idea past them now?
Go for it.
Okay.
I already know what the sequel for Ghostbusters are. They've already announced.
You don't know crap. Shut your mouth.
Basically just
let John talk. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Let John talk.
Here's the idea.
Let the man talk.
You're interrupting him now.
Walter, shut the fuck up.
My God, you love hearing yourself
$154 million. So it needs to make $300 million to really...
All right, so I'm going to say... Devin's going to say opening weekend, it will probably make... Devin is going to go out on a limb
I'm going to go with 90.
That's high. I'm going to say...
80.
Devin is going to say 50...
$1.
But with the idea that there is almost always minimum a 3-time multiplier for the box office of the opening weekend.
Yes.
So if it makes 50, you can assume in the domestic box office.
Yeah, because I think it's gonna blow up in China. That's why I think it's gonna be greenlit.
If it makes 150,
I don't think it's gonna blow up in China.
Yes, I think they love slapstick fucking humor.
They don't like
right
girls
there.
Though.
And they love
it's
American
right up there.
Properties.
Yes, it's right up there.
Devin is going. Devin is going to agree with Mike that the sequel.
Clearly, John doesn't fucking know about the market.
Yeah,
this is all about
it's all about the Chinese market.
John, what John's bringing up is the fact that in China, Rey was pretty much removed from all the marketing for Star Wars.
That's
yep,
which is fine. But there's still
not
a
fine.
No, there's still
movie stars women. You can't just
because they're going to make a lot of money.
Yes,
they
have a guy in there. They still have special effects is right up their alley. Women are getting beat up. That's not to be misogynistic, but that's what it's going to be.
I guarantee
they're not getting beat up.
No,
really, nothing happened. I've already
commercial, the woman slaps the other woman. How are you telling me that they're not in some way getting beat up?
So a slap to the face is getting beat up.
Hey, that's porno.
All right, let's find out.
That is some SJW level, like assaulted me. He bumped into me. It's assault.
And you're talking about this in a world now that someone sees a poster of someone choking a woman, and there's a fucking.
I guarantee thing. That isn't fucking China, dude.
But I'm just saying.
Well, either way, Devin thinks that Mike's point is valid. The Chinese market and the foreign markets are going to put this over the top. I think domestically it'll break even with its production budget. I think that the foreign gross is going to make it profitable beyond its advertising, and there is definitely going to be a sequel.
I can't wait to be right about this.
Okay.
But I also know I'm right about is, okay, so the premise of Ghostbusters...
For God's sakes, Walter, let him talk.
Yes. I can see you winding up to fucking open your mouth. I'm going to slap it shut.
Yeah. John and Devin spent a lot of time brainstorming this idea. We know where it needs to go.
So the big hook was going to be, like, evil ghosts of, like, these criminals and stuff would conspire against the Ghostbusters. A, that thing's way too small. B, they thought their billion-dollar idea was alien ghosts, which is retarded because if you've watched anything Ghostbusters, you know the ghosts don't look human anyways.
Yeah, the paranormal things are all weird-looking to begin with.
Right. So that's already stupid. However, here's how you do it. At the end of the first movie, you do like this slow pan and you reveal the ghost forces rallied from across eons of evil by
Ghost Hitler! Come on!
Boom! Yeah, tell me you won't see a movie with the Ghostbusters versus Ghost Hitler.
Yes.
That is kind of awesome.
Yes,
thank you.
If you saw Ghost Hitler at the end of this movie marshaling the forces of evil from the spectral world.
Ready to march on America!
It's absurd enough to kind of work.
It could be happening in the spectral realm right now. It's not absurd.
It's clear. That's clearly not going to happen.
I kind of spoil Ghostbusters. I do know the basic. The movie does have
Ghost Hitler.
Don't go.
Yeah, everyone already knows what. Okay, fine. We won't spoil it.
Okay, so don't.
I'm going to spoil it.
I actually want to watch it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's not even a spoiler.
Mike and Devin will go see it.
They are setting up.
Yeah, of course.
For Gozer.
Right. We already know that.
One of the final things in the movie is that
they mentions
them,
yeah.
One of them hears a recording that says like Gozer Zool.
Zool.
So it sets up the Keymaster.
Who cares? Zool isn't fucking Thanos. No one gives a damn about Zool.
Agreed.
Again, it's because they only remember that someone said Zool. They don't actually know what those characters are.
Correct.
But
Ghost Hitler. Everyone knows Hitler.
The next movie is going to be the male's Ghostbuster movie.
Right.
Which is going to star all men, because apparently they can't coexist in the same movie.
Assuming
the
next Ghostbuster
movie.
Movie,
they join forces to fight Gozer.
Yay.
We'll see.
And that's exactly, they're looking for an Avenger-style event. So they'll treat Gozer as like this big event thing. And I hate that's become a thing, because I like Avenger-style events.
When executed properly.
They're in the Avengers universe.
Correct.
But if like everyone's going to have an Avengers-style event... Well, like that's what they're calling it.
But of course, when we say Avengers style, we mean very prototypical comic book crossover style. You know, I think. Yeah.
But let's be honest. Let's be perfectly honest. No other company is going to get to that point because they don't know how. It's just not going to happen. DC's not even going to be able to pull it off right, and they're already trying like out of the gate with like their second or third movie, and it's not going to work.
The
like
one thing I could see them doing in this, if the first movie doesn't do well and they're still hard on for having a sequel, in the second movie they will bring back the original cast as the original Ghostbusters, by way, because one of the things in this movie is the breaking down of dimensions,
multi-dimensional
dimensions. So one of the things we will get
Ghost Hal Ramis
is a Ghostbusters from another dimension, and they might even do a digital Harold Ramis.
Ooh.
Which would just be fucking awful.
Ooh.
I don't foresee them getting that kind of ability, because I'm shocked they got Bill Murray to do this.
I'm pretty sure the Sony hack discusses litigation and very strong arm
tactics.
They basically
threatened to sue him to do it.
Yeah, which is absurd.
Like, which, I mean, it's really weird that Murray is such a diva about movies, because I mean, he's got an HBO series coming up about principles that looks fucking terrible to me.
Yeah, Bill Murray does whatever he wants.
He's just such weird movies.
I don't think it looks pretty good, too. The taste is on the left side of the room. The anger.
We'll
the
see how
anger,
it pans out.
All the drink fruit punch out of a Poland
Spring. Heck yes!
Bottle.
And it's red drink.
To be fair, it is actually
put the
crystal
mic to
light.
Your mouth, please.
Ooh. It's crystal light.
Crystal light is delicious.
So cool
and good for you.
Yeah. So there's no calories here.
No sugar.
That
no
doesn't mean something's good for you.
No, that rock
I
has
mean,
no
like
calories.
This is great. It's not good for me either. I'm fairly certain this is giving me 10 forms of cancer that are all fighting each other and not me.
Well, no, the best part
you
is...
You put that in your body all the time, and you know what? The people listening don't understand. You're holding up a 10-inch rubber dong.
I was just going to point out
the whole time, wagging at me, saying, this is good when it's in me.
God damn it.
I was just going to point out, as the guy that's going to do the editing on this, Walter just said this and lifted it up as if everyone can see it, and they can't, so I'm going to have fun editing that.
So, anyways, next topic.
I'm not even going to say what it is now.
Because no, it would be a lie.
Yeah.
Because you're going to lie.
I said what it was. You can't say anything other than what I said.
No. Or we'll slap your mouth shut.
I will sue you.
Damn. So, the other thing we want to do, because it's blown up and it's huge, Mike, bring out the phone. Tell us what Pokemon is in the house.
Oh.
Literally, what Pokemon is in the studio.
Well, this is the thing.
Because Pokemon Go is huge right now.
You don't ever know. Because the fucking app is always crashing.
Yes. Oh, my God. Everyone's on it, though. Yes. Everyone is on it. This is...
I have to say, one thing. There are so many people on this that the day it launched, I was outside getting the mail. Saw people that I've never seen outside in the neighborhood before.
Yes.
And they look like they've never been outside in the neighborhood before.
It's Nerd Tinder.
And they're all outside.
It's Nerd Tinder.
Fucking Pokemon.
Yeah, it's Nerd Tinder.
Wow.
This is where the next generation is going to be,
I gotta
like,
say,
consummated.
And I was thinking about like Nintendo and what their next move forward is. And it's sad that they have literally no tie-in with this video game.
Well, it's sad that we don't know of any tie-in.
No, they don't.
Well,
they
Devin,
have no tie-in
Devin,
for this video game.
Devin says all that right, they must get one. They need to.
They need to.
Know what these
this
Pokemon
is too popular.
We're finding Pokemon right now.
I think I've got a Kakuna.
Oh my god, that is a Kakuna! Holy shit!
So I mean, this is how the game works.
Are you going to catch it?
John's never seen it before. You basically flick this ball.
I don't even know what Pokemon is. That's not true.
And bam!
Did you fucking miss?
I got it.
That was bullshit. You missed and it still caught.
I always miss.
Game ever. 0 out of 10.
But this is all you do. Like in Pokemon games, typically you have to battle them and weaken them to.
No, there's gym battles. If you go to certain places,
go to
like Westboro Baptist Church,
yes,
you can. No,
that's true.
There
you
is an arena.
Team Rocket's home base.
Points.
Rock it off again.
I don't know, my game's locked up.
Okay,
Pokeball on my screen.
So the but the answer to the question of the Geek Cred Studio, what Pokemon represents us? It's a Kakuna, which is. A lazy, sleeping caterpillar that does nothing but hide in its thick
but
shell.
But then he evolves into a beautiful butterfly.
It just uses Harden all the time.
Does
unless you teach it something else.
Yeah, I think Kakuna's the one that...
Kakuna turns into a vicious bee that stabs you.
No, I think that's a butterfly.
That's a drill bee.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
That's a drill.
No, that's a completely different thing.
What? Okay, I win again, John. Just showing.
Spanish Mike is dropping knowledge.
A cocoon. And what does a cocoon become?
Yep.
It becomes a fucking butterfly, John.
First of all, it's butter-free. Second of all...
I don't give a shit what their fucking names are. It's what it technically is.
Yeah, but there's a whole other caterpillar shell Pokemon.
Yes, there's two of them.
Now I've got,
there's the Weedle.
Yeah, Weedle.
Yeah, and then there's Caterpie.
Does Weedle become
and
Weedle?
Caterpie becomes the butterfly.
Really? How sure of you are you on this?
I'm pretty sure because I didn't have their color scheme. And how they do it.
There have been fucked up Pokemon before where they messed up the evolutions.
Oh, yeah.
Like Venomoth.
Yes.
Who is incorrect. Okay, we're gonna verify.
Everyone is just playing Pokemon Go now in the studio.
I don't want to.
None of us wanted to, and look what happened.
It's like crack cocaine.
I hate this game.
Who's the first celebrity to die to Pokemon Go?
It's gonna. That's what
Dan Aykroyd.
There's two.
Call
there's
it out.
Two
no.
things
Call
that I see
now.
From this game. I see people huddling together, and then some dude coming up and robbing all their cell phones.
That's been happening.
And you know what? Thank God, because the thugs got to find a way to make a profit off this too.
Okay, can we have a moment of silence? Beedrill is a dual-type bug poison Pokemon. It evolves from Kakuna starting at level 10. Suck my dick, Mike!
Oh.
Suck my dick!
Insert a zipper sound.
I'm so glad he forgot that it was me that put up the stink about that.
It's okay.
He blamed the black guy instead.
Mike, you said that Kakuna turns into Butterfree. Walter backed you up, assuming you had some Pokemon knowledge.
Which I do. Which clearly John doesn't, because you have to Google it.
No, I was okay. Right.
I've been playing Pokemon. I have Pokemon.
If you gotta Google it. What does it say about the geek cred?
Exactly. Exactly. It's okay though.
That makes no sense.
I'll lie on my sword, but at least I have a sword to stick out. John lies on the grass because he's too afraid to take that jump.
I have swords. I have two, but they're drills because that's what I evolve into since there's a Kakuna in the studio and they evolve into bee drills.
And now we continue.
So we had a Cousin Chris question.
Oh, he's in it.
CQC, and I know that is not the right order, but Metal Gear's awesome, so I'm calling it CQC. And here's the question, because we love Cousin Chris, so we always answer Cousin Chris questions. This motherfucker is double-checking my Pokemon knowledge here. He's triple-checking on Google.
I appreciate it.
Got the wikis open.
what do you think you're doing here with Butterfree?
Shut up. I'm not doing anything.
Yeah. Because you know I'm right, and now you're trying to.
You're not right, though. You're not right. You Googled it.
What? That verifies my correctness. It says right at the top what it evolves from. Yeah.
Oh, it was I was thinking Metapod.
Yeah, Metapod.
I got confused with Metapod.
Yeah, stupid people often think that. You stupid idiot. Channeling my Chris Jericho.
Best insult ever.
Exactly. He invented both those words and put them together.
Yes.
It's very impressive. So Cousin Chris's question, who we love, is what DC/Marvel character would you rewrite and who really needs it? So I guess really answering the first one answers the second one.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about this, and it actually brought me back to a pitch I had originally for a character, but I want to see what other people think first. And we're going to start, since it is your cousin, Mike, we're going to start with you. Which Marvel or DC character would you revamp?
I would revamp...
Say Beedrill, motherfucker.
No, I want to...
Say Gru.
It's weird, because I want to kind of revamp both Batman, and I want to revamp Superman.
Nah.
Which I feel like has been done a billion times anyways.
Who needs it? Who needs it more? That's the question. Really.
Who needs it more? I would say...
Because Batman's killing it.
Yeah.
He's killing people too in the movie.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm going to go with... You know, I would take the chance and rewrite Batman.
Okay, what would you change? Since everyone knows Batman's fucking awesome, how would you screw him up?
But that's the thing. Like, it's... You know what? What about the alternative universe, which I'm assuming has been written, because everything's been written when it comes to Batman? It's almost true. Like fucking The Simpsons. That's been true.
Batman did it.
But what about not killing his parents? Keep his parents alive and see if he still becomes...
So you want to kill Batman?
No, and see if he still becomes the same... Because person, in reality, he's insane. The guy's insane. He's got literal mental problems that... He himself needs to dress up as a fucking bat.
Squeak.
What if Alfred died instead of his parents?
Oh, that's a good one, too. But this is his caretaker.
I don't know.
His caregiver.
I don't know. More of a father than a...
But what if we find out that only Thomas because, and Martha were terrible parents?
But exactly. you don't know, even though it seems like they were going to be great. So but they weren't really around.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, one was a philanthropist doctor. And the other one had pearls. So you never know what could happen.
Yeah, that's true. That's the characterization.
Integral to her characterization.
So, John, how would you answer that question?
Okay. The character I answer for, because it's a character I love, but it's a character I think is usually pretty bland in portrayal, other than maybe a couple instances, especially in the comics, though, and especially in pop culture. She has little relevance, unfortunately. I would completely revamp Wonder Woman.
Yeah, I could see that.
And my revamp would be to delineate her very heavily from her power set in a lot of ways, in some ways. Here's my pitch for Wonder Woman. And it's basically a bizarre cross between Wonder Woman and popular anime tropes that are very, very... they resonate pretty heavily with the generation that we would need to get into Wonder Woman right now. And my theory for her was, if I was writing her... Her bracelets would be the source of her power, and they would let her channel the power of the gods, and she would take on different armors that would resemble the power set of the gods. So if she's Zeus, her power might be like lightning-themed armor where she's now super... You know, she might be able to move like lightning and throw lightning. You know, she can still be super strong and stuff, but then if she becomes Hercules, now she has, like, a lion mane, and she's stronger than Superman. And she has to be such an amazing warrior because the powers you get could be so varied. You'd have to be good at everything. So she's this super badass warrior that has this toolkit that lets her approach situations in a bunch of different ways. It gives her a bunch of different looks to explore, where she can have just kind of the typical Wonder Woman costume that's kind of like a bikini, would be the base costume, because that is iconic, but you would build onto that with these armors that she gets. And that's how she'd approach this. And the problem would be, while she's using these powers, the actual god that she's taking the powers from is much diminished. And these were supposed to be the weapons of Ares to conquer other gods by stealing godly powers, but now Wonder Woman has them, which is why Ares is her arch nemesis. He wants his weaponry back. And this would eventually develop to the point where she starts using other deities' powers from other pantheons, not just Greek, and maybe even stuff like she channels the power of Darkseid, and that's like a whole story arc where that's a corruptive power, because Darkseid is a god. He's a new god. Why can't you have Darkseid armor as Wonder Woman? And you get this cool thing where Wonder Woman gets all these different looks. Artists get to go crazy with how they draw her.
Lots of action figure potential.
Lots of action figure potential, which we know goes really well with kids. Kids love that.
I like this, but there needs to be a crux in some way.
Yeah, it feels like she's just over...
Like, it needs to be like a... If you channel someone, you start to inherit their personality.
She sounds it would absolutely be like that. She that's sounds like a little bit...
You could use Darkseid, but then you're like, you worry about her.
Right. Well, I think that's what John's saying. Yeah. That,
okay.
Yeah.
She sounds a little bit like Rey from Star Wars. She's just really good at everything, eventually.
She'd be Vixen. But taken from the pantheon of...
Yeah, Wonder Woman should
also
be amazing.
Also, it would make great sense because as she's stealing powers from people, some of the gods could be like, yeah, we don't want you doing this. And she goes, no, screw you. You left Earth to...
Exactly.
You don't get a say in this.
And then it's, oh, you only want to come back.
So wouldn't the gods want to take away that power?
Eat another grape?
And that's exactly what Mike asked, which just sets up so much conflict. Wouldn't the gods want their power back? Yes, absolutely they would.
So she would be an outcast, not really.
Against the gods.
Wouldn't Ares also know in order to defeat her, he'd have to kill the other gods?
Well, doesn't that just start writing stories themselves?
That's what my point is.
Absolutely.
This is a good idea.
Well, one of the story arcs I figured was because Ares is so powerful because he thrives on conflict, at some point, Wonder Woman has to use the powers of Zeus, which is, you know, he's the father of the gods in the Greek pantheon, super powerful, and that can fight Ares, but that is Ares' plan because then striking from the shadows, Circe strikes down Zeus when he's at his weakest. So in defeating Ares with Zeus's power, she's actually helped Ares, a master tactician, get one over in this situation, and that starts because of the fall of Zeus. You have a decline in all the Greek gods other than Ares, who set up contingencies because this is his plan. That's when she has to go on a journey to get new powers from new gods, including gods from other pantheons, which lets her explore how to develop her powers. That is my take on Wonder Woman and how I would write her.
Sounds made up.
Devin, what about you?
Devin thinks that he would go... Devin's going to tell you who needs it.
Yep.
And then Devin's going to tell you exactly who did what Devin's suggesting.
Oh.
Devin is going to say Mr. Fantastic.
Okay.
Devin feels desperately, probably for the last 20 years has needed a remake.
Since the end of the Burn Run.
Yeah. Because he in no way resonates with the public sentiment. I mean, like, once upon a time, obviously, when he was created, it's this exploration, and oh my god, like...
He was a much braver, cooler character.
Yes, and I think it's the bravery that specifically gets me, that he's on the bleeding edge of what's possible, and that's terrifying.
Yep.
But not to him.
No. To him, it's a challenge.
And so, Devin feels like that's why Reed has struggled in the 616 universe, because he plays it safe, and he's not brave. He's not this adventuring figure. And Reed should almost be swashbuckling to an extent.
Absolutely. So, he bare chest fights Dr. Doom.
Yes.
He factually does that before.
So Devin would actually tip his hat to Ultimate Reed Richards.
Okay.
because Devin feels like that is probably a more believable synthesis. Yeah, this guy is going to go scary places with science and technology. It should scare us. It shouldn't scare him. And if Reed still has a moral compass, obviously you can explore all sorts of ethical dilemmas with science, because there are so many that are dawning in our modern era, and that we can associate with. Like, we can associate with, for example, obviously the pitfalls of AI, and you know, if you've ever seen the movie Ex Machina, what happens with?
I want to watch it a lot.
That's
very good movie.
Yeah.
So you'd say they dropped the ball when they made him the maker, and then he's just a flat out villain.
Yeah, Devin. Yeah, and Devin feels like that was the direction that Devin would head it, but Devin wouldn't make him villainous because, again, this guy is just brave enough to do what we may be scared of him, but he shouldn't be villains. He should still keep that heroic intent. He's doing it for us. And Devin feels like that works.
Yeah, it's not selfish. It's to help.
And that's a Mr. Fantastic.
Yes.
Devin sits there and says, wow, I would be awed. Devin would be awed by that character, right? Devin would say, that is fantastic.
I mean, he would be the first man in space, the first man in flight, yes, the first man to circumnavigate the globe, all in one dude.
Right. This is the guy. And you know, that's originally, you know, this guy sent himself into space because he was like, screw it, I'm going to do it. Like,
yeah, because they said, you can't do this yet, and he went, screw you.
Yeah. Yes, I can.
Yes, I can.
And I think Devin thinks that would resonate with modern audiences, and that's a way to salvage the character. And, of course, then the whole Fantastic Four maybe takes on a dimension of his adventurousness still.
There was a Fantastic Four, because they retconned the shit out of them now.
Four stick. Walter, did you have an answer for this one, or should we exclude you?
I have no real good answer. The Joker, I guess. Bring him back to what it used to be.
No, but that's like kind of goes with the whole thing. Yeah, I wonder how the Joker works, right? Because if you think about it, Batman was... If Batman is a different character, would the Joker even exist?
I don't know. Would he evolve differently, perhaps into a Beedrill?
Possibly.
Possibly. Possibly. So there's your answer, Cousin Chris, for the Cousin Chris question of
CQC.
The week. CQC. And we are insisting that it's CQC. So, with all that in mind, let's move to comic books, because that was a comic booky question.
Yep.
One thing that is happening, and I'm super psyched because it's been in development for like 10 years for some reason.
Riri Williams Iron Man.
Wow.
Devin was just about to say that.
Not even a little. I wanted to lead with the fact that, okay, we all know Dexter's Lab.
Oh, snap. Samurai Jack season 5?
Samurai Jack. We all know Samurai Jack. We all know...
And the Luke Cage.
Cage is getting a comic book written by Genndy Tartakovsky.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, and Genndy had been working on this for...
Years,
and it's just been in the making.
Yep. And it has a very cartoonish approach to it. It's a very classic Luke Cage, the one that Tartakovsky grew up with. You know, so yellow shirt, silver tiara, Luke Cage, Power Man.
So not Netflix series Luke Cage that we're probably going to get.
No. A much more kind of in-your-face, crazy, awesome Luke Cage. A more Black Dynamite Luke Cage.
Is it going to be banging a bunch of chicks, though?
What?
Is it going to just be banging chicks left
and
right?
No, because it looks very cartoony. But probably.
Have you seen Black Dynamite?
Yes.
I thought that before I came in the room.
When I was a children.
We all know Black Dynamite is awesome. So that is definitely something to look forward to with Luke Cage.
Well, I think that's one of the more creative things that Marvel has on their plate. And I like to see those long gestating Marvel products finally make their way to the comic book shelves. Yeah, the store shelves. Because Marvel doesn't have a lot that I'm interested in reading.
Well, speaking of that, they just released a subscription chart, and people have been kind of up in arms because there are no X-Men titles at all on this subscription chart other than Death of X.
Well, Death of X is something that Devin wanted to talk about, because that, of course, is the war between Inhumans and mutants.
Yes.
They're going to tell us apparently what happened, Cyclops' ultimate fate, et cetera, et cetera. But Devin feels like this is just where they finally bury the X-Men for good, because, my God, that's what it feels like.
Insert picture of Triple H.
Yes, God, with the shovel.
It's almost like I would like if Disney kind of at least hid they didn't give a fuck about.
Yep. Yeah, this is outright contempt now. And,
yeah.
No, they're like, they're straight up saying, like, Fox, fuck you.
Yep.
For just not giving us the rights.
Yep.
Or taking too long to give us the rights.
It's Marvel's fault for negotiating crappy contracts and yep. stuff like that.
But that's not Disney's fault.
No, it's not Disney's fault, but
at the same time, they bought Marvel, so they took their faults yep. too.
And Disney is playing. I mean,
hard fucking
playing hard
ball.
Yeah.
The wrath of the mouse is strong.
Yes. Damn, very nice he said.
It's true. Okay, we mentioned it earlier, and it's been probably the biggest talking point in comics of the last week.
Batman died again.
Batman exploded. No.
The Hulk is dead?
The Hulk has died. A moment of silence for the Hulk.
That is my thing. Every time I go to a Marvel movie, I just go, can't believe the Hulk died.
Anytime we go to any movie, the spoiler is that the Hulk died, regardless of whether it's Marvel. Yeah,
that used to be my favorite thing to do to Game of Thrones fans. But when I had read the books ahead of where they were, I'd be like, oh man, just wait. Hodor's biting it tonight. And like, no, if Hodor dies, I stop watching it. Like, well, that's ironic.
Clearly, Michael does not understand. Yes, I spoke in the third person because that show is fucking terrible.
Yeah, Mike has no idea what we're talking about right now.
I just know there's a little dude fucking chicks and then there's and there's fucking brothers and
Tyrion
sisters.
Tyrion is not banging anybody, really.
And then, he bangs, like, chicks.
And there's brother and sister who, like, fucking want to bang.
No, they don't want to bang. They have kids.
And then, oh, disgusting. And then there's Aquaman banging the same chick.
No, they're two separate characters. Actually, okay.
Aquaman actually bangs a dragon, essentially.
That was the subtlety of Game of Thrones.
No,
ever.
Hold on. Here's what I want for next week. Next week, we're going to have Mike tell us the plot of Game of Thrones as he understands it via osmosis from pop culture.
Yeah.
That is happening next week.
I know there's a fucking...
No. Save it.
Next week, we're going to go through this, and it's going to be... amazing.
Fuck Eric Snow, whatever that dude's name is.
People need to tune in for next
basketball
week.
Player?
Fuck him too! With the 76ers! Fuck that piece of shit. He couldn't shoot anything.
And now I never got a championship.
And now John is lost.
I think, no. This needs to stop.
Eric Snow, wherever you are, you suck.
Talk about
he's up at the wall.
I'm going to find his Twitter account, which is probably been fucking disconnected because he fucking blows.
Wow.
And send him a fucking hate tweet.
Match him on Twitter. Yes.
Wow. All
right. Anyway, crapping on Eric.
So
that felt great, by the way.
We're getting
to say that forever.
The news is we're getting two new Iron Men. One of whom is Dr. Doom.
Man, they pimped that fucking guy strong, don't they?
Yes. He's becoming the infamous Iron Man.
For some reason, because Dr. Doom wasn't better than Iron Man. Like, what?
This naturally leads me to one question. While we hang on Dr. Doom for 1 second. Does this mean that Marvel is getting back the... Is this Marvel's way of getting around making Dr. Doom something? Or?
Well, maybe. And you know what? Walter, Devin thinks that's an astute observation, that instead of doing new things with Dr. Doom and adding to the IP that Fox owns, if you do things under the Iron Man banner, basically that is an Iron Man story.
Correct.
And therefore Fox cannot own it.
Because his identity is different.
Can I actually ask...
So, probably. I would
when
say
when it comes
probably.
To Dr. Doom, he's huge... in the Marvel Universe. Like
he's,
in the
oh, my God, yeah.
He's, like, the guy.
He is the guy.
So, does by the looks of it, do you think that Disney is, like, fuck?
So, Disney wants him bad.
Yeah, like, this guy's kind of huge.
The
and we can
alone.
Make a lot of stories with him.
Yes.
But we're fucking literally handcuffed.
Yeah.
The problem is, Dr. Doom is...
But they have to keep using him in comics, too, it seems like.
Yeah, the issue with Dr. Doom is he probably, of all the villains combined, he has the highest number of really good stories attached to him, and the least success ratio of appearances on any film medium. So they want to not... They want not only to get Dr. Doom, but they know they can knock out a home run with him. And you can just feel it, because the writers still want to use Dr. Doom. And... He's Dr.
So,
fucking Doom.
Piggybacking on what Walter suggested.
Big piggy.
Devin wonders whether or not... Devin wonders whether or not that's why we had a totally neutered Dr. Doom in Secret Wars.
Where he's an incompetent buffoon, basically.
See?
That wouldn't surprise me.
Oh, that's Spanish. Yeah. I know that one.
Verified. You know what? Actually, with your track...
Mike didn't know that's Spanish.
And I know that.
I know that word.
Yeah, see, he's Googling it right now to make sure he's right. So he doesn't get called out again on his supposed knowledge.
No, I might be going to Raw next Monday.
Oh, thanks for the invite.
Don't worry. You won't be there.
So yeah, they definitely want to write Doctor Doom stories, and because he's the iconic comic book villain, probably more so than most other guys we think of as major villains. Because if you go back generations, Doctor Doom is the guy.
Is he an Avengers villain too?
He is he's a Marvel Universe.
He's an everyone villain.
He is an everyone villain in a really great way. I mean, this is a guy that walks into X-Men and is like, I'm going to be your number one villain right now. And everyone just goes, oh, fuck, it's Doctor Doom. Because that's who he is.
Jeez.
It's a fact. He is just that
big. What happened then down that? I mean, if Doctor Doom's so huge, just finally fucking do the crossover.
Well, that is...
Because Magneto is fucking boring at this point.
That is the theory.
Yes.
That Fox is going to use Doctor Doom. Because Fox owns Galactus. Fox owns Silver Surfer. Fox owns Doctor Doom. Fox owns a lot of cool stuff.
Hot-ass characters that they fucking missing on.
And so a lot of people speculate that, yeah, this is exactly what's going to happen, which, in my opinion, if they execute it properly, would be awesome. If they continue to execute it poorly, this is probably why Marvel needs the property back.
Based on track record.
I like that he said continues to use it properly.
Continues to use it improperly.
Because they have. And they will continue to do so.
Well, I mean, Fan4Stick is fucking awful.
So anyways.
I haven't actually seen it yet.
Anyways.
We should have a viewing. Anyway, the other Iron Man is a 15-year-old girl named, and I think I'm pronouncing this correctly, Riri?
That is the pronunciation I've heard.
Okay, Riri Williams, who has... I want to say she has a combined 8 pages of total appearance time. I think that's accurate. I could be wrong. I'm pretty sure that's accurate, though. And she's been announced to be the newest Iron Man, and there's been quite a bit of uproar about this from the fandom, because A, she is a completely brand new character, and B, Marvel is getting accused of just doing a gender/race switch again with a character, because Riri is African-American. And it seems like people are kind of sick of this. And I know we discussed this before, but we got to discuss it again because it keeps happening.
Well, I'd like to discuss my reasons as to why I think that Marvel keeps doing this. And it's a possible reason other than the 2016 thing to do.
Other than virtue signaling.
Yes, other than that. And that's that they have created a cinematic universe with aging actors.
Absolutely.
Robert Downey Jr. cannot play Iron Man forever. Chris Evans cannot play Captain America forever. All these actors will age and will not be able to play.
I'm going
to
correct you on one thing. Chris Evans has the super soldier serum. Among his powers, it arrests his aging. So he's fine.
Steve Rogers. That's
Tony Stark is fucked.
Okay.
I mean, his liver is going to give out any day now.
So eventually they're going to have to come up with new characters because people are going to get tired of, they're going to lose Robert Downey Jr.'s contract. He's not going to want to do it anymore. All these actors eventually they're not going to want to play these parts.
Right. They're going to grow out of them.
So Marvel is going out of their way to create new versions of every single character so that they can use them.
It makes sense. It's like my argument that you should have a 10-year plan to introduce Miles Morales as your new Spider-Man in the cinematic universe. So
just keep
making
Peter Parker young.
Yeah, but that gets old if you want an ongoing universe. You can't do that.
Like if let's put it this way, if Spider-Man is
do they want
Spider-Man
an ongoing universe?
That's what I'm thinking. Rather. When is the end? It has to be
somewhat
soon
because they'll reboot.
If they keep going, and this is why I'm saying this could be why they're doing this. They're doing this to avoid the end.
Yes.
If they create a Black Iron Man, if they create this gives you an excuse to cast. Like right now, they have an excuse to one day replace Thor with.
Jane Foster.
To replace Chris Evans with a Black Captain America.
Well, they already have that.
Move
Anthony
Falcon
Mackie.
Over, you know what I mean? And the people would be very behind that.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I would.
I
as long as it doesn't decrease his odds of being Lando Calrissian.
Well, people can star in multiple movies at once.
I know. I just don't want
and
to
Devin,
interfere with
and
that.
And Devin agrees with you to that extent, but Devin also says that those same reasons apply to a reboot as well. If they want to reboot things, would say, but
true.
It's not what you think, because wait, look at this Captain America. This is a Black Captain America. This is Miles Morales, Spider-Man in this universe. So if they decide to just flat out reboot, You can't say that, oh, I've seen this, I don't need to watch the Marvel movies. This is new. You do need to watch the Marvel movies.
Because here's the thing.
Yes.
Because I'm gonna make a counterpoint to this, because it is comics, and we need to keep that in mind. A perfect example with Captain America is they already have situations like this covered in the comic books. If you wanted to introduce a new Captain America, it's actually really easy. You don't need to even say Anthony Mackie become Captain America. You can just go, hey, this guy, Elijah, he was the first Captain America. Well, that would be, is it Elijah?
I think that, isn't that his first name?
I'd have to look it up. It's been so long since I read Red, White, and Black.
Yeah.
But there is a black Captain America, the original black Captain America, who was part of experimentation before Steve Rogers. And he has all the same powers. And, as I just mentioned earlier, part of that power set is not aging. So you could introduce a new actor, but show that they're this older previous character that predates Captain America. Boom, there's your get-out-of-aging-free card. And it's something tied into the comics with a character that has a lot of supporters.
I mean, you can also start making just original content, too.
There's
a point at
Devin thinks Marvel needs to desperately do that.
Instead of just kind of treading on comic books from the past,
the mantles.
Yeah, just start maybe just making new shit. Once Infinity War is done, they could literally just make a new universe and do whatever they want. Mm-hmm. They could make Spider-Man, the fucking
one of my biggest
whatever he wants, and just go from there.
Yeah, one of my biggest problems with Marvel and Western comics in general is they're not creative anymore. They don't take risks with stuff because their publishing model sucks. And
they're mainstream too, John. Remember, it's tougher to...
Comics aren't mainstream.
No,
Comic books are not mainstream.
They want to be.
Yeah, that's the thing. So it's harder. I think it's harder to really take that true leap or that true risk.
Bullshit, manga.
That's not...
isn't that mainstream in America.
No, it's not mainstream.
I would argue... Again, manga is more mainstream
to you,
than Western
John.
Comics. No! What? To me? I read more comics than I read manga, Mike. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, but what? How many
what
manga
are
movies,
more kids how reading?
How many manga movies have you seen?
No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Marvel Comics as comics. They desperately want their comics to be mainstream, but they can't make that happen.
And what they're trying to do with this is by using movies as a gateway.
No, yes. That doesn't work. We know that doesn't
I know
work.
That doesn't
it might
work,
not work,
but
that's
what they're trying
to
do.
Exactly.
That is never going to work. It
I
won't.
Get. Well, there's actually... There's a fascinating study that I just read today about whether or not Marvel's technique with replacing characters with minorities and diversity actually has an impact. And it seems to suggest that the movies, mm-hmm. as we've known for a long time, don't have an impact on readership.
Correct.
Really at all. The diversity...
And we verified that with Rob, our local comic book guy, Time Capsule Comics.
Yep. The diversity sort of...
Sort of.
...does, but...
Then it's bad.
See, I'd like to offer my own short... not controlled. I mean, there were people in there that I didn't ask, but... So when the whole Riri Williams thing came up, I asked a group of people on my Facebook. All these people are of a minority in some way, shape, or form. Either
it's a varied subset of people.
Yes.
Yeah.
And like be it an LGBT character or a character of a different race.
Right.
I asked them, if you had absolutely no interest in something and suddenly a character in that thing was changed to be a character of your specific subgroup of people.
Yep.
Would you suddenly become interested in that thing enough to spend money on it?
And to clarify, by a thing they're not interested in, you read Iron Man comics, but Batman, no. We mean you don't read comic books or watch television
I didn't bring up anything. The right. example I most often use was monster trucks, because that's something very few people are into in the subgroups that
sadly.
I hang out with.
Sadly.
So I asked them,
Gravedigger.
If you found out suddenly that Gravedigger was reported to be a trans person, A transformer.
I think
the problem, and someone even pointed this out, the problem is when they said that, that Gravedigger was a trans person.
Trannies really hard right now.
Damn, you've made a really good sounding show now.
What if we just say Gravedigger identifies as a person?
Yes.
That makes it a trans truck, right?
Yes, I guess.
Identifies as a tranny.
But universally, every single person said no.
Yeah, everyone said no.
No one would go out. They said it might, and the best that I got out of this, the best answer I got out of this came from my friend Dave, who said, I would not spend money on this.
Correct.
But what I would do is I would spread the word about it.
And bottom line is, they wouldn't spend money on it.
Yeah, exactly. You're not spending money.
And
unless you're already a comic book enthusiast.
Right.
Really, so you're already buying comic books. But it's the comic book store, and that this was universal, the end all be all of this. Every one of them said no.
Well,
it has to be interesting.
So,
other than just that one thing.
Allow me to cite this research study that I just pulled up that I was reading earlier today.
Yes.
Essentially, the study says that Marvel's relied on an ever dwindling population to market its books to overwhelmingly that. It's white men now in their 30s and 40s who are reading comics during the last comics boom
in the 90s.
So it does seem that having more minorities and women characters does make a difference to sales because you are getting new readers to the genre. Not guys our age,
mm-hmm.
but new kids do seem to think that this is a good thing. And I guess that's just like we had sort of talked about with, new Star Wars movie. It's not for older fans. It's for younger fans.
The proof's in the pudding, though, with something like Captain America. Captain America, number one, with Sam Wilson, sold quite well. And right now, it's garbage in sales. Absolute garbage.
But because you're not holding people.
Exactly, because I argue their publishing model's totally broken.
Yeah, and
you're not going to hold people.
Well, and the stories aren't good. The bottom line is, Sam Wilson's been Captain America for a while, but he's been basically a side character in his own story because there's the looming specter of what's going on with Steve.
And then Secret Wars.
And then Steve's back. Because let me give you like a Steve Urkel. Like,
Steve!
Yeah, thank you.
The monkey from fucking...
Steve. Cloudy.
So, going back to what you just said, John.
The
big thing is that the model's broken.
It doesn't work.
Magazines don't work. Newspaper doesn't work. Comics coming out monthly.
Comic books really don't work.
They just do not work anymore.
No.
Paper medium just doesn't make sense.
No, you can have paper medium work.
Especially when it's not so drawn between each other. That's what I'm trying to feel like. I take an example to my son. This is what it's all towards. Civil War did not interested in, even with fucking Spider-Man, he had no desire to watch it.
Yep.
You know, it's just like, he loves action and stuff like that, but he just wasn't feeling it.
Yeah.
He just felt it was he didn't like that it was called Civil War. He didn't like that there was a possibility.
So he constantly think that it was going to be a bunch of old white men.
No, he thought it was going to be like the prequel to 12 Years a Slave.
I'm assuming he probably thought it was just constant fighting. He's not into constant fighting. Surprisingly. So now, when it comes to this model, even if I wanted to get him into reading something, which even this is childlike, I would have to wait till it comes out in trade instead of just going. Oh, every week we're going to go, or every month. Oh, we're going to go, maybe your comic's out. Maybe what you want to read is out. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't fit in this YouTube era when everything's just fucking click, 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 click.
I wish people would do that with our videos.
You just said you have to wait for the trades. That's how most people consume TV nowadays.
Yeah.
They just wait for the season to come out on Netflix to the point where
you binge watch, you binge read.
Netflix just says, have the whole series in one day.
So I'm going to bring this full circle.
And John's going to bring up fucking manga now. Because that's
which
exactly
releases in trades and murders it in sales compared to American comics. And that's why. Their model is much smarter. Because they have
more.
Yeah, you get way more for your money. And let's face it. Kids, but Marvel doesn't print on pulp paper and manga's black and white. Those are detriments, you fucking idiots. Because guess what?
Prints on pretty high quality paper.
Yeah, but it's still black and white.
And I mean, you could Okay, so let's...
But here's the thing. Here's why that argument doesn't wash. Oh, it looks better in comics. You idiot. If someone wants something that looks good, there is a million things you can go watch on YouTube or television or anything that looks a million times better than anything you can put static on a page. People are not going to be impressed with anything on paper in 2D, especially not kids. It's just not going to happen.
I don't know about that.
I think maybe we've I also passed that point now. Because think about back when we were kids. What was on TV didn't look as good as what was in the comic. Sure, you could go and you could watch the Incredible Hulk TV series, but it didn't look like the Hulk.
Right, until we got to Batman, the animated series, and X-Men.
Yes, and then we had cartoons, but even those didn't look quite as good as the comics. Like, Batman the Animated Series was good, but Batman the Animated Series comic book looked fucking awful.
Yes, that's true.
I'm not a fan of that art style in still form.
It didn't look good, yeah.
It's a cost-effective art style.
So technology killed it. That's pretty much what you're saying.
Yes, the problem is art has gotten
so... why don't they move and use technology? That's the thing. If technology is actually the answer, they could just...
Because that's not cost-efficient.
I know, but... For what you can charge. Like you just said...
Yes.
If they came out in the manga style, so the whole trade, the story right there, and whip it in fucking an iPad, you can just buy the whole trade right there and read it. Yep. Number one.
Why not just create a subscription service?
Exactly. So much cheaper to go. You don't have to fucking draw anything. but, I mean, in paper.
But you don't have to do paper. You can just do it all digitally.
Exactly. And you just fucking... take it right out. Just send it right out and
things.
It's done.
A, manga hasn't reached a subscription model yet that's sustainable. People still prefer to physically buy things.
That's so, I mean, they're always going to have those people. People still buy DVDs.
That's the majority of your market right now.
It comes back to that to a meme I saw the other day of someone making an asshole claim that their Nintendo collection of 1,000 games will always be more impressive than the same number of games in your Steam queue.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's cool if you're looking to impress other people, but I'm looking for ease of use.
Yeah.
And that's another
thing. You know,
I think that's another thing the comic books are missing. It's like, why don't you go to that medium too? Start making good, popular video games too. I mean, in reality...
Oh, absolutely.
My son's a little bit of a gamer, even though I try not to put him into games, but...
Gives the kids the ADD.
No, my question is a good point. Why is there only a Batman game right now?
No, that's MA. Like, I play Mario. That is what I grew up with. That's, of course, I'm going to have my son start off with the old shit. And he plays it. He loves it. And now when we're hanging out, he'll be like, oh, Dad, you know, I thought about what you could do in Mario Maker and blah, blah, blah. Yep. But, like, stuff like that. Is what creates it. He's more into that and more into Minecraft.
Yeah, because all they have...
You can put your hands into and fuck with...
The kids love the Minecraft.
Yeah. That you could do with a comic.
The only thing that they have close for something like that, for comic book stuff, is like Lego, but that always seems more like Lego than whatever property it's attached to.
And that's why Lego's so smart.
Exactly.
Because it always...
They know that.
...openly feels more like Lego.
So... That would be my whole argument about this whole thing, and Riri is getting a lot of pushback.
I want to make a suggestion real quick before we can. Should we start making like exits for Devin so we can say goodbye? You can edit this out later, but like, should we just like, Devin's got to take off now? Because like, it always like halfway through the episode, Devin just stops always, talking.
We're pretty far in, though.
I prefer that Devin just disappears and it's unexplained.
Yeah, we did okay. Well. All right, so we'll edit that. Mike, take Devin's mic, though, because your mic keeps making noise, and I don't know what it is.
And now I'm Devin.
And now Mike is Devin.
Devin is I.
What? So, Riri has gotten a lot of pushback. And, of course, the immediate narrative has become...
I hate the name, John, to be honest with you.
I know I hate the name.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you're from maybe in the urban culture. Riri means something totally different to me than the name... Of a
name, yeah, yes, a name.
Personally,
I mean,
part of me feels they named the character that just so people would jump on it, so that way they could say, "Oh, see, they're just immature people that don't like Riri are immature because they're calling her a Riri."
Every time you say, "I want to laugh,"
yes,
bro.
I know it's a stupid name. There's so many names, and trust me, it's a lot of stupid names these days.
Oh my god, yes.
But Riri is kind of up there.
I mean, Apple. Really?
I know.
And Mike? Fucking retarded name. That's a name. Okay. So anyway, but here, let me explain the pushback. Because everyone's framing it like, well, not everyone. Marvel is, of course, framing this as that racism. No.
Wait.
Yes, they are absolutely already doing that.
Of course they would.
But no. If you introduced anyone in 8 pages and said they're the new Iron Man, especially if they're just some fucking kid,
yeah,
this is the reaction you would get because people make the counter. Well, no one cared when it was Dick Grayson. Dick Grayson had fucking 50, 60, 70 years of history behind him as a character where it makes sense for him to eventually inherit the mantle of Batman.
Let me ask you something.
Absolutely.
I challenge Marvel. I know you're listening.
They are.
I guarantee you someone from Marvel's listening.
Brian Michael Bendis is one of our listeners.
Prove us wrong. Take Bucky.
Okay.
Reboot Bucky. He is no longer Bucky Barnes. He is now Hal Greenstein.
Okay.
Whatever. He's just another white guy.
Yep.
Make him the new Winter Soldier. Watch how people respond.
Correct. If you just have him come
out.
Do
him the exact same way you did the female Thor reboot.
Yep.
Do him the exact same way you're going to do the Iron Man thing.
Yep.
Introduce him as a new character. Bam, bam. He's Winter Soldier now. Bye-bye. Oh, and Bucky's dead.
Yep. You will get the same pushback.
You will. But that's the problem. They never try these things. And they never try to, and never have to, reboot a character and make it another white character, which would get just as much pushback.
It's all clickbait, I think. It's just they just want the clicks,
yes.
And they just want the spotlight for those 15, 20 minutes.
They want people to do exactly what we're doing
then,
now and talk about.
And
which
no
is
one
what
gives
angers
a fuck
me
after that.
Because it's one of those things, like, when this gets support, it's like you're playing right into the hand because they don't give a fuck about diversity.
The worst is all the people that are super, super supportive. Oh, I'm sorry. A majority of the people that are super, super supportive of this are the exact same people that just told me I wouldn't buy the comic.
Exactly, because they won't. And that's the thing. And they should be pushing. They have a new character coming out in Mosaic. And he's a whole brand new character. His own name, his own identity, his own powers. And he's not the top story at Marvel. This is because they know they can get clickbait from this. Mm-hmm. They're not going to get clickbait from Mosaic, because guess what? Mosaic isn't going to be around in fucking 3 years.
And what's his shtick?
He's a body hopper. Like, he can possess people's body, which was an immediate turnoff for me because I don't like that as a power set. So I'm like, fuck. Because I do like new characters, but I'm like, oh, that power set, you look like new different
yeah,
people all the
that's
time.
That's what I was going to say. It's just like, oh, and then later on, it was Mosaic this whole time.
And he's and he's supposed to be kind of this tweener anti-hero kind of guy. I'm like, ugh, I'm not super on
so
board with that all the time.
They're not pulling your strings. But now, it comes down. Who are they writing for? Like, honestly, think outside. Think as a guy from Marvel.
Okay.
Right? Who do you write for? Honestly write for?
Unfortunately, I think they're writing for themselves as comic book fans, and that is a huge problem.
But who are they trying to grab? I understand that they want to grab the kids, they want to grab the women, but who should they go for then?
Everyone.
Should they keep going for the 40-year-olds that
no.
are the actual ones who buy the comics?
No, they should be going for kids, period, full stop.
So just
kids.
Full childish.
If you're 40 and you don't already buy comics, I don't think there's much that's going to turn you into a long-term subscriber.
No, all you can do is bleed. All you can do is bleed that base by pissing people off and them stopping reading.
I mean, it's, in one hand, let's face it, we're all getting closer to the grave. We're by no means... right around the corner. We're all aging.
Everyone is.
The other comic book readers that came before us are even older.
Yep.
And you need to start focusing on the young kids.
Yes.
Which, in a way, I hate to say that DC is kind of doing right with the whole Suicide Squad, because that movie screams of everything wrong with what I consider wrong with this generation.
Well, yeah.
You know, the fact that the Joker looks like Little Wayne.
He looks really stupid.
Like the essay. He looks like a...
Everything is tried.
He looks like the
hard.
Joker.
It's all edgelord try hard shit.
Look at me. Look how flashy I am. Because that's
it's very superficial.
It's very much, and oh man, someone said this today.
I'm
so
shocked
so
there's no Kardashian in there, to be honest with you. I'm really shocked there's no Kardashian. Why not?
Or literally a Kardashian. Joe Kardashian.
This generation just feels to me like the daycare era, where the parents weren't around and you were fighting for some poor woman that was paid minimum wage to watch your stupid kids.
Actually, there's actually studies that just came out that directly point to that.
Okay.
As being a major issue, which I would completely believe.
And that's what I feel caused this whole attitude of today, of kids just acting like, hey, look at me. And this is why I constantly look at my kid. My kid ever asks for attention, what is it? What do you need?
And with that line of superficial thinking, that's what Marvel is doing. They're doing very superficial things and getting applause, and then that's it. Because it's hollow. If you look at these situations, like, oh, Sam Wilson's Captain America now. Okay, when's he going to stop being Captain America? Because all it is a countdown to Steve coming back.
Yep.
You're never going to stick to it. Why isn't there just a Falcon book? And when he stops being Captain America, there's not going to be a fucking Falcon book, unfortunately. Because I would read that shit. And guess what? We just got Riri Williams. Yay, plus for diversity, right? No, they just killed War Machine.
I got it. Here's how you do it. Remember what I just said we should do?
Yes.
Find out the perfect way to do it.
Yes.
Steve Rogers, kill him off.
Okay.
Sam Wilson permanently takes over as Captain America, and a white guy takes over as Falcon. There you go. Watch and see how you get the backlash for both.
They have a new Falcon right now.
Okay.
He's some Mexican guy.
Okay.
Who has done basically nothing so far. Also, his design is terrible. Just going out.
Were people kind of mad that, you know, Falcon...
He's literally a non-entity. People are like, we don't give a fuck about this guy.
Is it just because people don't give a fuck about Falcon?
People don't get... Because this character had no basis before. He was literally just introduced to be the new Falcon, so people are like, we don't give a fuck. Because now, especially, you have, my power is I fly.
But wait a minute. Isn't that the same exact thing that they're doing with Riri?
No, because he's not carrying his own book. He's barely even featured. I think he's been, like, a couple issues only.
Oh, so there's no Falcon book.
No, there's no Falcon book. It doesn't exist.
Oh, I thought there was.
No.
All right, then.
Unfortunately. So, with that all said, we need to check in with what has become our new weekly thing now until the movie comes out. With our Suicide Squad checkup.
Okay.
To get people's credit up. Well, before we get on to who we got this week, we need to check back, because we talked about Deadshot last week, and I said one of the best things anyone could watch to get familiar with Deadshot was Assault on Arkham. And what did we do a couple days ago, Walter?
We sat down and we watched Assault on Arkham.
Okay. And what did you... As someone that's not familiar with Deadshot much... And
I'm not even familiar with Suicide Squad that much.
Okay. And as someone that had not seen the movie, what was your takeaway from it?
Fun. Good movie. Okay. I liked it. I liked... The Deadshot was far different than I've seen him. I've always seen him as more villainous than he was in this.
Okay.
He was kind of a dick.
Oh, yeah.
But not so much. Like he was clearly the character you were supposed to root for.
He's professional.
Yes. And, like, I remember him... See, the Deadshot experience I have is through Arrow.
Very different.
When you get introduced to Deadshot, he's awful.
Awful
but they
character.
Kill him off, but then they reboot him again.
Yes.
Bring him back, and he's closer to what you have now, but still kind of villainous.
Yes.
Whereas in this version, he's kind of a good guy. He's like a Solid Snake, almost.
Almost, but he kills people for money.
So does Solid Snake.
I mean, that's true.
He's a fucking mercenary. He's not an out-and-out villain.
He's charming.
I like the fact that he had pull with people.
Yes.
The scene with him and Penguin, I really liked.
I really like that scene because he acts very professionally towards Penguin, which
and
I liked.
And even in his threat was like, look, I'm not going to sit here and threat. Because that's the one thing I'd never like about villain movies, is when every villain is just constantly... You know, trying to alpha dog the other.
Everything's guy. A dick measuring
and it's
contest.
It's just like, come on. It's why I don't like the tough guys in Marvel's TV show, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Everyone was constantly the Malcolm Reynolds.
Yeah.
It's like, I get it. You're all super cool. I'm not impressed.
Can see that.
This was not that case.
No.
He wasn't being a jerk to Penguin. He was being professional and demanding professional courtesy back.
Yes, exactly.
There was characterization there. I really dug it. The movie felt fun. It even killed off a couple characters, which I dug. I appreciate anything that's, you know, short-sighted enough to kill people, and it's a movie, so...
Yeah. And we know they don't appear in later Arkham games, so it
yes,
works.
Yes, that's the other thing. It takes place in the span of the Arkham games.
Yes.
I didn't particularly care for some of the art design, but then again, I didn't care for some of the art design in the early versions of...
Agreed.
...of Arkham anyway. I'm not a fan of... What I always deemed the the Unreal Engine look.
Okay,
you know, yeah, where everything's just like gigantic.
Gears
big.
Of War.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like, why does everything got to look that way? It's just, especially Bane.
It's a little
especially
doofy.
Killer Croc.
Yeah,
all that. It's like, you're too much.
Killer Croc was so much better looking in Arkham Origins. He was awesome in that game.
Was he there?
Oh yeah, he's like the first boss fight. He's brutal. He's much smaller.
Oh, I thought... Okay, yes.
Yeah.
And I never...
Same
I
thing,
never,
Bane was much better in Arkham Origins, too. He wasn't this giant Hulk, which I always hate with Bane. But, speaking of Killer Croc, he is our focus this week.
Yay!
Kind of yay.
Uh-oh.
Get that geek cred up.
Yes. And I picked Killer Croc specifically because Deadshot's kind of easy. Killer Croc... Not easy at all.
Unless you're watching the animated show.
Damn it. I'm going to say right now, at the end of your spiel on Killer Croc,
yes.
I want to make my suggestion of who you should rewrite, and then you can edit back into to what we said earlier.
Okay.
Because I did finally think of a character that I would like to see get more prominent role of.
Okay.
But go ahead.
Okay. So, like Mike said, Killer Croc has been very underutilized in books and really has only gotten to shine... really in the animated series and in limited capacity.
But he was awesome.
He was awesome.
He had a really big rock.
But unfortunately, for people that want to get into Killer Croc, I would say that one scene did a lot of damage to Killer Croc. Because that has become a meme. It was a big rock. Where Killer Croc is a really stupid comment.
That's such a phenomenal episode.
But it's a shitty Croc moment. Because it just plays off Croc as this dimwit. And
but isn't it not Croc the entire time, though?
Correct, it's Batman. But no one remembers that. You got to remember the culture we're dealing with nowadays, Walter.
Yeah, everything's short-term.
Correct. And that did a lot of damage to Croc. Here's the thing. There are two...
It's kind of a sad story. I mean, everyone in Batman has a sad story, but...
It is. And there are two good Croc episodes in Batman the Animated Series that I highly recommend. The first is Love is a Croc. And it is a team-up between Killer Croc and Baby Doll.
Oh, my God. Such a great... I instantly remember it.
And Baby Doll falls in love with Killer Croc. Or she has a crush on him, basically. And keep in mind, Baby Doll looks like a little girl, but she's really a woman in her 40s. And that's kind of the crux of her situation. Yeah, she's a bitch. but she's disturbed. She has mental issues. And
clearly.
She falls in love with Croc, and Croc reciprocates, but it's a complete sham. It is the title of the thing, Love is a Croc. And she overhears him making fun of her, and like how he's just playing along with her for the capability she has and what she brings to the table. He's just stringing her along. Which then she completely flips out on Killer Croc. But it characterized Croc so strongly as kind of this... He's devious in limited ways, because he's not a super genius, but he's savvy. And he's actually surprisingly people savvy.
He's like street smart. Yes. Yeah, like high IQ and street smart.
Because originally in the comics, he was a gang boss. He was a crime boss. Because he knows how to use people. And whether it's intimidating them, lying to them, or killing them... He knows how to make people tick on a street level.
What would you say is your croc? Is your croc the meta animal humanesque or the skin disease that he?
My croc is two crocs. One is the second episode I would reference is called Sideshow, and
that's
it is an episode
that's the one
that is the one and is the one that features Killer Croc.
His episode.
It's his episode. He falls in with a group of sideshow performers.
Mm-hmm.
What people would consider, you know, the politically incorrect term of sideshow freaks.
Yep.
Including a flipper boy who basically latches onto Croc as a bigger brother.
Mm-hmm.
Because Croc, let's face it, other than his skin situation, and even that can be argued as kind of cool, Killer Croc is this huge, muscular dude that knows how to fight. He's very alpha male, and he gets shit done. And that is the kind of thing any of us could easily see as a young boy being, that guy's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I would say they lean on that.
Especially
one,
someone that's been picked on a lot.
That he's yes. not, he's not this, he's not part Croc.
Right.
That is actually just this unfortunate disease.
Right, that people would attach this name to him.
Yes.
And the thing that happens in this episode is you see Killer Croc kind of bonds with this and then completely sells these people out with the explanation is, even if all this stuff didn't happen the way Croc was, Croc would still be who he is. Because that's who he is. Croc is not a good person.
No.
And Croc's situation is the case where you go, beauty is only skin deep. Yeah, but sometimes ugly goes to the bone too. Mm-hmm. And Croc is an ugly guy through and through. And unfortunately, that's just the reality of some people. And I think that's a really compelling character for Croc. I would almost compare Croc to, as he appears in a series written by Brian Azzarello for Batman, it was called Broken City. And it featured Croc, and Croc, I think, comes across pretty well in it because he's just a dude with a skin condition.
Good.
But he plays it up.
The way I like it.
He plays it up to the point where he files his teeth and he makes himself scary. And, like, he jokes around about eating people, and you're not sure if he's serious or not about actually cannibalizing people. But he plays up the fact psychologically he knows this gives him an edge. And because he is street savvy, he reminds me of Balrog when Balrog is well written in Street Fighter. Where, yeah, he's not this mastermind super criminal like M. Bison. He's not this crazy psycho killer like Vega. But he knows how to manage crime. And he knows how to intimidate people and get what he wants.
That's why I think I like the skin thing more. Because
yes.
If you see him as if he is a beast, then he just has animalistic traits.
He's the lizard at that
yeah,
point.
Yeah, yeah. He eats people or eats meat, so people are his meat to him.
Right.
But if he's a human...
with plans and goals.
Yeah. And fucking filing his teeth and scaling up almost and yeah. fucking working out.
You know, oddly enough, who would make a great Killer Croc?
Is always Nathan Jones.
No. He would play a great characterization of him, and unfortunately we'll never see it.
I think I know who you're going to say.
He's already played a character.
Yep.
Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy would be an excellent Killer
Croc.
If you've
ever seen him in Legend...
But it was still...
But Bane.
Legend is, like, if you look up...
He's terrifying.
He is terrifying.
Yes. And that is exactly the kind of guy Croc should be.
Bronson, even, that's absolutely...
That's what Croc should be like.
Yeah.
The only comic book I can even really recommend, other than Broken City, which, again, is not a Croc story, he's just in it, would be... it's called Joker's Asylum, Killer Croc number 1. And the only reason...
I think I'm going to actually read this one.
I think you did. The only reason it gives Killer Croc a personality in it. And yes, he's a big, giant crocodile monster, which I don't like. But... He gets out of prison, basically, and he falls in with these two people that basically use him to try to betray each other and get ahead criminally, to the point where Croc just goes, you know, just bring back to prison, because these people outside, they're the real monsters, not me. And it was like, okay, I can kind of see Croc's point, because these people did have everything, and they were just really, really despicable people. So I would recommend it's a decent Croc story because Croc's a little bit more sympathetic in the comics. But honestly, a non-sympathetic Croc, like the one in the animated series, is more interesting as a character to me.
Yeah.
I don't need a sympathetic Croc.
That's what I was going to say. I was just going to say. You don't need to.
Exactly. We have enough sympathetic bad guys. Bad guys are bad guys.
I don't want to feel bad for the Joker. And I never fucking will.
Exactly. And sometimes that's A-okay. Like, I can feel bad for Two-Face.
Yeah, you can feel bad for the Penguin in certain things.
In certain ways.
Yeah.
There are characters I can feel bad for all over the place in Batman. Killer Croc, like Maxi Zeus is a guy I can feel bad for.
Whew. Poor fucking crazy fuck, that
exactly.
one.
Exactly. Poor crazy bastard. Because he's schizophrenic.
Yeah, and he's kind of bad of a guy. He's just,
have a tragic
just fucking insane.
Like Mr. Freeze, you know?
Yeah, Mr. Freeze is a guy I can feel bad for.
Mr. That's
Freeze
a long con when
is
it comes
interesting
to Mr. Freeze.
Because of the fact that
yes,
he's tragic.
But sometimes people's instincts are bad, and Killer Croc has instincts that are basically fuck money, fuck bitches, get money.
The weird thing about Mr. Freeze, ultimately, I like him more robotic than I like him with the feelings, to be honest with you. Like
my favorite Mr. Freeze is actually after, is when he comes back and he just starts destroying things people love.
Yeah,
I think because everything. His basic motto: everything dies, everything goes away. Deal with it. And it's really
because
dark.
That's a hard freeze to stop.
Yeah, it's a harsh
because
reality.
Think about it. How can you stop a dude that's like, well, let's be real. You're going to die. All of this is really useless.
Yep.
So let's just get fucking rid of it now.
Does he ever lose Nora?
Yes. That's actually what starts it. Nora is cured.
Oh.
And refuses to be with him because of the person that he is.
Yeah,
he
became
can't
a monster. He became a monster.
So he basically, the lesson he goes to tell people is anything you love will be taken away from you by one way or the other. But in this case, that way is me. Sorry, not sorry.
That's why he's fucking unstoppable when you think about it. And he's super strong.
Oh, yeah,
right?
He's top tier in Batman, which is why he has such a great boss fight. You can't just fight him in Arkham City. Yeah. He'll kill you.
Yeah.
And that is one of my favorite Mr. Freeze moments in anything is they premiered this big painting this guy made. And he refined it over years to make this painting, his technique and everything. And it's this big gala extravaganza. Mr. Freeze comes in, and people are, like, worried they're going to rob him, that he's going to rob them. Because that's usually been his M.O. He robs people to get money to fund his experiments.
Yeah.
And instead, he just points at the
like
painting.
Like such a douchebag.
Like a complete douchebag, and goes, no, I'm here to take away things that are important to you. And the guy, in a great bit of voice acting and animation, grabs onto Mr. Freeze on his knees and says, please don't. I can't make another one. I'm too old. Which is a reality we were just talking about, people getting old. And Mr. Freeze looks at him, and in, pun intended, coldest moment in the series, says, that's the point. And ices it over and destroys this guy's painting. And I remember even being like young watching this, it was absolutely bone-chilling.
And that's what
to
I
be faced
I,
with that reality.
Like he's robotic. He's just like, a robot has no feelings. That's what,
right.
That's what changes them from being human.
Yes, and then he tells people right after, I want you all to look in your hearts and find the thing you hold the most precious to you because I'm going to take it away. And that level of just unmitigated evil,
especially
but not because it's evil. He's actually trying to teach people a lesson, which makes it even scarier. Holy crap. That's terrifying.
And there's no rhyme or reason to it when it comes to his choice of victim.
Right, you don't know.
Everyone's going to be a victim.
Yeah, it potentially could be anyone next. That's really scary. Because that's like a cold,
especially
cruel
when you consider
world.
What people love the most.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like people.
Yeah.
Like, there's no item in the world I love more than my family. So it's like, is Victor Freed coming after my
yes,
family then?
That is exactly what you would do.
If that's, you better love something else.
Right.
just
I really love
love.
That.
Yes.
I love that painting.
No, you don't.
There's your cat. Fuck.
No. So discussing Killer Croc, I will say I'm not a fan of the way he looks in Suicide Squad.
Oh, man. That would be a great I'm sorry. I got to point out great way to run that would be Mr. Freeze walks into some guy's house. I'm here to take what... I'm sorry. I'm immediately doing the voice from fucking Arkham.
You are.
I'm here to take what you love most. And goes into the... And, like, the guy's like, no, not my wife. And he just goes over to the dude's, like, car and destroys it. And then leaves. And the guy's like, no. And his wife's like, you fuck. And then leaves him.
Yeah.
He's like, don't worry, I've destroyed you so much right now.
What if he turned and said, why didn't you take my wife?
Yes.
And,
take my wife, please.
What would be worse is if he was her favorite thing. He's like, I've destroyed two for one,
oh,
two birds, one stone. Win-win.
The mystery is like, alley-oop. the one thing I will say, though, about Croc's look in Suicide Squad, even though I don't like the makeup job, and I just think he looks like a Goomba from Super Mario Brothers the movie.
He's short.
Yeah, he's tiny.
No,
also.
You know who he reminds me of?
Yes.
He reminds me of a Skaren from this the sci-fi series Farscape.
Yes. Yes, okay, I could see that.
And he looks exactly like the same exact makeup artist did that.
The good thing you could see, though, is that they might go with the skin.
Right, they might
go with the skin.
The personality
issue,
might be more like the personality we've mentioned is better for Croc. If that's the case, cool.
They don't have a lot of point of reference. That's the thing that's a little scary. They don't have a lot to really go with.
He's
just monstrous.
Tiny, though.
Yeah, I do like a bigger, scarier Croc.
He's like 6'1" or 2", but it just stinks because
no,
I think Will Smith's the same height, so...
No, yeah. Will Smith's bigger than him!
Yeah, Will Smith is considerably taller. Like, I like a crop...
Like, are they just... Are they spending all this time when they didn't realize that they had to do that because they weren't paying attention, and now are going back and scaling him up in
They might
post?
Scale him up, like, kind of what they did with Bane.
Maybe. The big thing... My ideal croc is like he is in Arkham Origins, where he's a fucking huge dude, but not a freakish monster. That's the croc. Like, if you're going to tell me like croc is like Nathan Jones big, okay, cool. I'm all on board with that. And he's got a skin condition that makes him almost bulletproof. Awesome. I'm all about that.
That's what I said. You honestly would have want Nathan Jones.
I'm sorry, croc. Croc is a CG character, man.
Yeah, I agree. Croc is a CG character.
Like, you've got this technology that can do this. But you're going Beast route, and Beast looked awful, too.
I think that's the thing, that they're trying to stay away from the CG.
Because, well, A, it's costly, and you're going to have a main character the entire time. Like, even Hulk wasn't the entire time Hulk.
They could afford it for Colossus. And you don't need any more Croc than you need Colossus in a movie.
Colossus was only in a very few select scenes.
I don't think you need that much Croc. That's about how much Croc
you
need.
Not if he's part of the... Maybe he's actually... part of the team. Maybe he's actually a big part, which would be really weird because
he's in all.
But if they develop his character like that, that would be cool.
That would be cool. I don't know how you develop an asshole, but
there's,
I guess,
plenty of ways to do it.
But I guess you could. I just hope that they don't. They
what
don't
if he's
keep
just
doing
the distant
whole
character? He's the silent guy. He's
I
like
just
your
hope they don't keep doing
Marcel,
that
Marceau.
Stupid like.
I just
Harley
don't want him to
Quinn
do a punchline
Harley Quinn thing when it's like, oh, you know, we still because we're bad guys, and he's
yeah.
Gonna, that's that her that one line. Unfortunately, is what really makes me fear where the movie's going to go. That's what I fear.
Well, bad guys. Why are you from Jersey suddenly?
It's barely a Jersey accent, even. Well, the thing is,
should have been a deep Brooklyn accent. She would have been fucking fantastic.
I can do a better Harley Quinn than that.
That's true. And you look better in the outfit sometimes.
Damn right I do.
Yeah, you have more curves than her.
Oh, shit. I'll give Shots you that. Fired. One of the things I hope, and that I would love, because it's actually one of the strengths, I think, of Assault on Arkham, is one thing I like about it. I hate unstoppable, fearless machine Joker. I hate it. So, like, the moment in Assault on Arkham, when Deadshot basically does, like, this little mind game with the Joker, and the Joker looks fallible, I would love a moment in the movie where Croc can intimidate Joker into doing something. Because let's face it, as far as the comic books go, or even the Arkham series goes, who are you putting your money on if they're face-to-face? Joker or Killer Croc?
Dude, I wouldn't pick Joker on anything.
You're right, Croc, 10 out of 10. And Joker should be aware of that if he's so smart.
Does Joker even have hand-to-hand combat?
He does. Joker's dangerous. But what's he going to do, pull a knife? That is literally inconsequential to Croc.
Let's put it this way. Joker has gone hand-to-hand with Batman. And held his own for a short amount of time.
Yeah. It's because he was
Killer
unpredictable,
Croc
though.
Killer Croc has gone hand-to-hand with Batman.
And won. Yes.
Joker would threaten his own life with Batman. I'll kill myself, Batman. I'll kill myself. You know you have to save me. And he's like,
I think Batman would just shrug. But and that's, I think, another problem with Killer Croc is all too often in the comics he's used as muscle that gets easily dispatched. When that should never be the case. He should be an absolute physical threat to Batman
every time. That's what I'm saying. I think that's what Killer Croc's going to do in the movie. He's going to be...
Good.
Go deal with Batman now.
If that is the case, good. Batman should not be able to bludgeon him into submission ever.
Oh, no. That Batman should be on the ropes the entire time and barely be able to...
Yes.
He's an older Batman, too, so...
Unfortunately, and Ben Affleck is much bigger than the guy playing Killer Croc.
And that's the big problem!
It is.
Killer Croc looks like he's teenage Killer Croc.
So next week... Next week, we didn't say who was going to be next week last week. I am this time because he's a personal fave of mine. And I think he has the potential to be the biggest character in the movie if they do him right. And it's Captain Boomerang. So next week, we're going to be discussing Captain Boomerang.
Looks awful.
He does.
In the movie.
He
kind of reminds me of Sabretooth.
He does. Oh my God, you're spot on.
No, I thought of it a couple times, yeah.
Damn, there's going to be a picture up when he just mentioned that, and people are going to see he's exactly
he even
right.
Looks like even, him.
No, immediately when I saw him, I was like, oh, he looks a lot like
Lee Schreiber is Sabretooth. Yeah, he absolutely does. Wow.
And he looks bigger, so he would have looked like a better Sabretooth.
True.
Sabretooth.
But I think he could be huge if they do him right, because I love Captain Boomerang.
Does
and
he
we
even
know
have the accent?
I haven't heard him talk, really. Probably. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do some research between now and next week. But that about wraps it up for this week. Good talk, everyone. I want to especially congratulate myself on being right about Beedrill. That's some Pokemon geek cred right there. So, anything left to say, Mike? Nope, don't say anything because you'd be wrong fucking anyways, just like about Beedrill. That's the end of the episode.